Our reading today comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 1. If you want to follow along at Pew Bible, it's page 155 in the New Testament. Bibles are kind of sneaky. They start all over again two-thirds of the way through. But so 90% of the way into your Bible, page 155. You're looking at Colossians 1, beginning at verse 15. She awake? Okay. She's unusually mellow. I've never seen one of those. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you have heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. All right, Abigail. I mean, Kinley. We've had a couple baptisms now this morning, and you're the most recent. Some big dude with significantly less hair than you put some water on your head, a little bit of oil too, and now you are officially the newest Christian in the world. So it seems like I should tell you some things, give you an orientation. And I wasn't sure what to tell you. Should I teach you how to use an iPhone right away? You might already have that one down. I don't care to explain American politics to her. It's kind of disappointing. I don't want to have to explain to her the news headlines. Do you? The catch with being a Christian is it's less about what you know than who you know. And the who is always Jesus. So, Kinley, we're going to talk about a few things about Jesus. First of all, he created you. Your mom and dad might think they did it, but the Bible says otherwise. The Bible says, by him, Jesus, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all were created through him and for him. Got it? So that means the angels and the saints in heaven were created through him and for him. And everything you see on the earth was created for him and through him too. Your little sucky key ring toy thingy, and your breakfast, and this room, everything was created through him and for him. And the for him is where it gets a little bit quirky. everything, all things, were made for him. When the Bible says all things, what it really means is all things. And thinking through things that way kind of messes with your mind. If your breakfast was made through and for Jesus, does that change how you eat it? If your time was made through and for Jesus, does that change how you spend it? If your entire life is for and through Jesus, does that change how you live it? All things for him. And then right after that, Paul talks about the church. And Kinley is the newest member of the church. And whenever you go places, sometimes it's nice to know who's in charge. And we don't have to wonder too long what that answer is. Oh, I'm ahead of myself. The reading said, Jesus is the head of the body, the church. So the preacher's not the head of the church, and the pope's not the head of the church, and who's ever been there the longest isn't the head of the church, and whoever volunteers the most isn't the head of the church, and whoever gives the most isn't the head of the church, and you are actually not the head of the church. But Jesus is. He created the church, and the church is for him. So all these songs and readings and things we do are for him. Second thing I want you to know is that Jesus saves you. Because I know you're getting sick of it already, that everybody comes up to you and says, aren't you a perfect little baby? But you know the truth. And the truth is you are the most selfish human being in this room. If you don't get your way, you let everybody know it right away. Sometimes some adults work their way out of this. A lot of them don't. That's how it goes. Actually goes back to the American political system, but never mind. Well, it is God's will that we love him, love each other. We don't come out of the factory that way. We said before, we are born children of a fallen humanity. And the Old Testament is clear that sin, for whatever reason, demands blood. And Jesus went through that for you and for me and for all of us to forgive our selfishness. The Bible says Jesus was making peace by the blood of his cross. If you look at that tragic scene of whipping and striking and spitting and laughing and nailing, Jesus went through that violence that we might have peace. To know that your life is not an accident, that your sin is forgiven, and to know that your life has a purpose. All right, if you're getting restless, I'll go quicker. Everybody's going to cheer for it now. Next thing you notice is that Jesus is actually in you. This mystery, which is Christ in you. God is not locked away in the Ark of the Covenant, and God is not hidden away in the temple in Jerusalem. God doesn't wait here all lonesome all week long, waiting for people to show up. God isn't sealed in a Bible, unable to get out of it. But the Bible says that Christ is actually in you. He's in Jews and non-Jews. Little babies, elderly people, men and women, holy, churchy types and reckless sinners. The Bible says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, but you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." Jesus is called the light of the world, but then he says his followers are the light of the world. And that we are to let our lights so shine before others that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who's in heaven. All right, number four, Jesus matures you. Jesus matures you. Him, Jesus, we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. I'm guessing all she's had to eat so far has been milk. Is that right? Daddy didn't sneak any M&Ms, or that's what uncles are there for. So right now, she's had nothing but milk. And the catch with milk is it's really easy, right? You just open your mouth, and especially when you're a baby, right? It's there. You get it. She doesn't have to work for it. She didn't have to go get a job. She didn't have to drive all the way out to HEB to get it. With milk, you're just given it. But one day, and it'll be a glorious day, she's going to have her first meat. And meat is so much better than milk. And the catch with meat is somebody's got to do some work. Somebody's got to get up early and go hunting if you're going to have some meat. And Paul talks about spiritual milk and spiritual meat, that we have to grow up from milk to meat. So like this Sunday morning thing we do is your spiritual milk, right? I read the Bible and study it for you and pray, and I give you something to think about, something to suck down. But I've done the work for you. All you have to do is sit back in your pew and open your ears and let it come at you. Easy. But if that's the only spiritual nourishment you get all week, you're going to be spiritually malnourished. And so instead, we're called to mature into meat. And to get meat, you got to get up early on your own and go hunting. You have to open the Bible yourself and pray yourself. And that's a whole lot better than just what we do here. And the last thing I want to tell you about is that Jesus is enough. Kinley, I hope you have a great life. I hope you're healthy and happy, and that when you go to school, grow up, you get good friends that stand by your side. And I hope that you find a joyful way to spend the rest of your life. And I hope you fall in love with a nice young man and you make your dad walk you down the aisle again to give you away to him. And I hope you have your own children and bring them up here too. But more than anything else, more than any good thing in your life, I pray you know Jesus, for he is enough, especially when life doesn't go well. When the doctor says, "I'm sorry." When your friends disappear. When work frustrates you. When funds are short. When your heart is broken by your deepest love. When your children move in ways you're fearful for. When the headlines terrify you. Even then, Jesus is still enough. It's been a rather unusual weekend here. We had a funeral, quickly followed by a wedding, quickly followed by baptisms at both services. And it's one of those times when you really get to see the circle of life and how quickly it goes, birth to adulthood, and eventually death. Kinley, life's going to go by really quickly. And a lot's going to change in your life. The technology and the headlines, all of that's going to change so quickly. And some of the changes are going to be great and some are going to be terrifying. But more important than what you know is who you know. And the most important person you can know is Jesus. Because he created you. He saved you. He's in you. He matures you. And in the end, he's always in you. Amen.